Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pub Table Racers, another Tuesday night, 8 p.m. live here on Facebook. We appreciate you being here. This is episode number 50. My name is Tim Packman. Sitting next to me is my partner, co-host, and awesome friend,
Warren Brosell.
There you go. Way to come, friend.
I have an awesome friend.
I was talking about someone else. we appreciate you being with us tonight. Warren, each and every week we have this bucket of beer in front of us. Why do we do that?
Because we're Pub Table Racers, and this is our kind of our staple.
That's it. Gotta have it.
And what could be better than to sit and drink beer and talk about racing?
And Miller High Life is in tribute to Bobby Allison. So,
tribute to Bobby Allison.
There you go.
And cheers.
And don't forget, folks, check out our merchandise on our website. We have awesome koozies, hats, t-shirts, tumblers, and children's books. Believe it or not, one of us here wrote a children's
not
book.
Not anything about a pub table. It's a...
It's a children's book.
Racing book.
Yeah, it's a children's, not about kids.
Not how to get your child into a pub.
Not teaching kids how to sit around
right.
with a bucket of beer.
My Wisconsin thing.
All right. El Jerome Boyd, that's good, from Michigan. Toy Pickers, that's the place in, went there the other day. It's the place in the Antique Mall.
Oh, I've seen you posted.
Oh, Antique Mall. I could have spent all day there. Mom from Florida, how you doing? All right, I got to take a sip, otherwise I get in trouble.
Yeah.
How was your day today? Work?
Great. It was awesome.
Okay. I only drink on Tuesday nights, folks. All right, tonight's show, we are going to talk about, briefly, we're going to talk about the, I thought they were pretty good, a lot of action, another winner, so we have three playoff spots are now tied up out of 16.
Of new winners.
So, and
or
of this year.
Let's say fresh faces.
Fresh faces, so William Byron won his second one.
Yeah.
Myatt Snyder won his first one. Congrats to them, RCR, Andy Street, and his wife Lauren, so
yeah.
Congrats to them. We worked with them at RCR before, and
nice people.
Great people, and great opportunity, so it was first win for both of them. All right, these shows and the website are brought to you by, of course, Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms, our number one advertiser, Brad. Go see him. Brawley School Road, near Oak and Canvasback, where they meet right there. Excellent selection, brand new things coming in
right.
for spring.
All your patio around the pool.
Yeah.
Deck. Deck, gazebo,
in your living room,
any kind of outdoor furniture
right.
needs.
I think we need to go do a show there, sitting in his fine furniture.
That would be nice. Maybe
some
have
Saturday,
a fire going or something.
A little fire going, maybe some nice cocktails
right,
or something.
Right.
He has those ready for
he
us.
He also has a shuffleboard.
Downstairs in the
pool
game room.
Tables.
Signed guitars.
Air hockey.
Air hockey.
My favorite. And your bubble hockey. Bubble top
That's
hockey.
It. Yeah, that's the best one.
Foosball.
Foosball, what you call it, yeah. So go see him, check him out. We appreciate his support. And also, we'd like to thank RacingJunk.com. Buy, sell, trade. They have lists of all kinds of parts, pieces.
Muffler bearings.
Everything you need. Cars,
yeah.
Clothing.
Whatever you need.
Buildings, everything. Haulers, whatever you need. Go check them out. They've been really good to work with.
Alternator fluid, they got it all.
Wiper fluid,
yeah. Yeah.
All those things. That's good. You know, I bought some there. I tried to buy some. They didn't have it. Also, we'd like to thank the Garage Shop, Aaron Brown and his gang out there in Denver. Last night, there was a little something else I'm involved with called the Garage Shop Insider. The first episode was last night. We're going to do every Wednesday, Monday night, 7 o'clock. And we talked about the Dodge Daytona, the number 71 Bobby Isaac, that everyone knows how they built that. And we're going to talk to a bunch of the guys that work in the shop. Tim Clements.
Yeah.
A friend of ours that we work with, friend of yours. You work with, you've known him forever.
But it's 83 or 4.
Right. So it's a cool thing, the Aero Wars, all kinds of great stuff. Bonneville Salt Flats. So check that out. It's on YouTube, the Garage Shop. Check that out. That's coming up. Should we tell them a little bit of news we have? Or?
Sure, let's go.
Okay. This morning, we found out that Pub Table Racers podcast is now going to be available on the Speed Sport Podcast Network and the NASCAR Digital Media Network Podcast Network. So that's kind of a cool thing.
And we're expanding a little bit.
We're expanding a little bit, so we are branching out on there. Mr. Bill, thanks for putting it together. You guys at Speed Sport, we're trying to get the show itself on there, but we're going to start with the podcast. So that's kind of cool. It's in a little, branching out there. Let's cheers that, man.
Cheers.
That's kind of a big deal. Just in this big exotic studio, Speed Sport and NASCAR Digital America. That's a Richard Childress speech. Said, only in America. Bill Mars. Billy, we know that. Oh, we got questions already
Richard
coming in.
Richard Childress speech, which, hold my watch.
Yeah, exactly. as you can see, in honor of Billy being on, we gave Dale the night off. We brought Rusty in because those two were synonymous for so long. What else do we have to talk
Bailey
about?
Bailey will tell us about the Rusty stuff.
Sure, I'm sure he will. Get things in. Oh, and a new sponsor coming on next week, Rapid Removal. Our friend, your
Darren Russell.
Darren Russell. He's going to jump on board 20-yard storage containers. If you're moving around, we'll talk about next week. And not that they go together, but he will be our guest next week as well.
Your trash is his bread and butter.
His trash is his bread and butter. Not his treasure, because he gets rid of it for you. So we have that coming on next week. All right, 20-yard dumpster is what he has there. Your thoughts on Homestead?
Let's start with Xfinity.
Sure.
A lot of good starting out with that green racetrack, I think, is really awesome.
Because no practice.
No practice, and the tire wear becomes an issue, and then then strategy becomes an issue, and when to pit, when not to pit. I think that helps the racing.
Sure.
I think it makes it better whenever you have a lot of tire wear. It's not boring. It's not who's next, running out of fuel, all of that. It's you come when you got tires.
Right.
They give an extra set. I think some of the guys played some different strategies. And
watch it play out.
You know, what happened at the end?
So, Rick, real quick, does Myatt Snyder send the thank you note to Noah Gragson or to David Starr? In a nutshell, guys.
I hate that happened.
Me too. It was like
he was wearing him out. He's running
his ass off. Yeah,
but that kind of stuff happens. Right. You know, the first thing I thought about was the spotter.
Right.
You know, and I thought, God, why would he let him be so close to him?
Right.
I mean, obviously he didn't. Nobody knew that guy had a problem, but you know. I hate this saying, but I'm saying it is what it is.
Right.
And that place owes that kid too now.
But it was like, and I'm not laughing, but it was like, he's gonna. Oh wait, he did. And then you're like, wow.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like, I mean, I hate it for the guys, I hate it for the team. Cup on Sunday.
And now there's quite the feud going on between.
Oh yeah.
The David Starr,
Carl Long,
yeah. And the Noah Gragson thing.
That's what they want. There you go.
That's what they want.
But you know what? They got to race each other again this weekend.
They do. Is it much of a feud?
No.
Probably not really, but.
We talked at the track. Everything's good.
Yeah.
And Noah's max. He's going to his hometown this weekend in Las Vegas. He'd like to walk in there to win. Maybe he'll take one out of there. Cup race on Sunday.
Cup race for me. I thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, tire wear was a big deal. There was a lot of comers and goers.
Yeah.
You know, our tires looked okay. Yep. The Penske cars looked okay at the beginning. And then they just absolutely fell apart two-thirds into the race. And you know, whether it was the sun going down and we didn't plan for it, whatever, but whatever. The 24 went from the back to the front,
right.
no problem. And all the Chevrolets were very, very strong. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. There was really only one strong Toyota. The 19 was
right. Strong.
Was probably at least a top five car.
Yep, which he was third.
And the 11 was okay.
Right.
But when he went to the back, he couldn't drive up to the front.
Yeah,
so
speeding penalty, too. Yeah. But when those two...
I thought the one... Probably could have raced the 24 for the win if he doesn't have a loose wheel.
Right. But then you had on that coming to the one stage there, and Hamlin pulls in front of Truex, and Truex, you know, lost his mind. So,
well, you know,
and he took advantage.
It's a teammate thing.
Yeah, there goes Byron. Yeah.
Tell me about that teammate thing.
Moving right along, Uncle John and wherever you at. Jeez.
We'll say this, the Roush cars.
Yeah.
Both of them ran very, very respectable.
Yep.
The 17 actually won the stage,
right.
And Newman was actually up there all day too.
First top 10.
So you know,
it's good. The ebb and flows.
We're
going.
Starting to
it's
have good. Some.
My brother in Vegas says hi. Race week.
Hey,
we have the race weekend. He can't camp this year. My Uncle John.
No camping.
No camping. Whatever. All right. I think it's time we bring our man.
Let's bring him on. Let's get this going.
All right, ladies and gentlemen,
he's
we have
a
very, very, very special guest because he's got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Very special guest. He's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He's a 36-year veteran, 37th year now. He's worked for Robert Yates, Team Penske, Hendrick Motorsports, now with Junior Motorsports, the one, the only.
Don't forget Billy King.
What?
Don't forget
and Richard Petty Motorsports, that's right.
Yeah,
don't forget the King. Billy, come on up. Billy Wolverine. If we had a crowd here right now, they'd be applauding because the response – We've had having Billy on.
I wonder if we should get tracks.
We should always get Lori. Yeah, that's it. Perfect. Hop in there, man. We got your buddy Rusty there.
Do you need a little water? You want a water or something?
Good. You want your water over there? Look at you. You're going to be talking a lot of stuff. I'll get you water. Hang on.
Even if
Billy, how'd you get your start racing? Go ahead.
It was a mistake.
It was no stop.
No.
All right. So Wits in Salem, and you started. How did your interest in racing? Where did it come from?
Well, I used to listen to the races on radio and TV, and well, it wasn't a lot on TV back then. It was ABC Wide World Sports.
Yeah.
You'd watch the first five laps and then the last four laps. But I don't know. I had an interest in racing and cars when I was in school, and. You know, and it kind of went from there. Richard Petty was my hero.
Right.
And I only lived about 30 miles from Petty Enterprises, and I spent a lot of time in Greensboro and Asheboro going to school and met a lot of different people that were involved in different parts of motorsports at that time. And kind of one thing led to another.
What was your first job?
He was my hero, too. Like in 1971, I got a slot car track with Richard
Petty. That's right, yeah.
Loved it.
So when did your first... Step your foot into a place they have a worker.
Well, a friend of mine, Van Pierce, his father sponsored Kurt Bryant, who was Darrell Bryant's son, and he was running Daytona Dash cars back in the day. Mm-hmm. They called them International Sedans at some point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my introduction to that part of it. And Darrell Bryant was crew chief at the time for Joe Milliken.
Joe Milliken,
yeah. The Performance Connection Pontiac.
Mm-hmm.
And,
there you go.
It's Stewart Racing. And that led me... to a job there during the summers and after school, and
what'd you do?
I was cleaning parts, just mountain bikes,
yeah.
Pulling air tubes. Back in the day, when we were
air tubes. There you go.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine would take me there and drop me off, and then pick me up on his way home from work. He worked in Asheboro, so
right,
you know. And then I met some of the guys at Petty's because they weren't far away, and you know, kind of one thing led to another there. Richard left Petty Enterprises and went to Kannapolis with Curb, and Mike Bean got to be friends with Mike, and Mike ended up hiring me when I got out of high school. So that was really my first job was at Curb with Petty.
And what were you doing there? What was your job duties?
I was a mechanic, went on the road, did tires. I was a tire guy back when you really had to do tires.
Yeah.
You actually had stagger, you had
they were biased by tires.
They were measuring for a reason.
You had to, now, okay, so back in the ASA days, I got sent to the, we were running Hoosiers, and I got sent to the Hoosier trailer to go measure tires, and Fenning gave me a tape measure, and gave me some numbers, and he says, all right, go find me as many of these as you can, and as many of these as you can, and it's 100 degrees out, and I'm inside this trailer, and I'm, you know, you measure a tire, and that one ain't right. Did you have to go through all of that,
well,
or did you just get your tires handed to you?
We got them handed to us, but then when Hoosier came into the Cup, it got a little more, a little more...
Technical?
Complicated.
Yeah.
And, you know, they chalk mark them, and you go, say, I need 89, you need 88 and three-quarter, whatever, you know. And so I feel like the tire guys back then did a lot more... work that was beneficial than now.
Yeah.
Now,
so, I think they just, what was it like? You're now you're working for your hero, and you're on the road with your hero, and your cars. What was that? I mean, it had to be like out of high school. There's your guy.
He's unbelievable.
You're working with your guy.
Yeah, he's working with my hero, and learned a lot. Dale Inman was really probably to this day still a good friend, and I keep in touch with him.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you know, man, amazing. And I learned so much working there, and. I don't know how to say it other than it was just pretty much a dream come true.
Right.
Do you have a Richard Petty story you can share with us? Favorite moment you had? First win, something with him?
I don't really. A lot of things.
Something he might have said to you?
Mm.
That you can share.
Well, there's a lot of them.
One that comes to mind.
Wilkesboro.
Okay, Wilkesboro.
We're pitting there, no pit wall back in the day.
You changing?
I was changing tires, and he come down pit road, and there was, I don't remember who it was, pit behind us and in front of us, and our pit stall was full. And he drove by, and he goes, okay, guys, I'll be right back.
That's all he said.
He said, okay, guys, I'll be right back. But he was that way. He was a matter-of-fact kind of guy, you know.
That's good.
So, also, you know, we didn't mention, because I could say this too, probably one of the earlier world-class tire changes.
Yes.
That was in our sport.
Right.
That was actually a mechanic, probably a little bit of a fabricator and a tire changer, yeah. Not just a, where's my protein shake and give me my gun. You know right. What I mean?
Yeah. No, you did yeah. A lot of that.
By the way, can you put my tire on? Right.
I'm going to need some orange tape to get that lined up.
I looked up people like Dale Inman and Leonard Wood, and Leonard Wood carried his own tire.
Right.
That's right.
And so yeah. It was, those are the guys. And I told Dale Inman when I went to work there, I said, I want to be a tire changer. And he said, well, we're going to put you on the tire. And he kind of started there.
Okay.
Good deal. That's actually the reason Darryl Bryant hired me was to be a pit crew guy.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you were right out of high school. You were fresh. Yeah. You were good.
Well, I
probably had about the right build, right?
I spent a lot of time in the barn. Me and old buddy, nobody knows this guy. His name's Jay Casper.
Throwing hay.
You might remember Chip Lane.
I do a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
He ran what was used to be Busch cars.
Okay. That name is very, very familiar.
It was the old Grand National Series or whatever. And he and his grandson, Jay Casper, and I spent with an old Ingersoll Rand and an air hose and a compressor they couldn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
We spent hours in there on that old car just changing tires in the barn.
That's what it took.
Pit practice.
That was
old school style. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Walter McCarty?
Yeah.
Which you call?
Wally Bacardi and Coke.
Exactly.
Wally.
Yeah. He says, Wally. Without a doubt, one of the best tire changers in the business.
There you go.
He was an athlete for your
I appreciate it.
All right, so how
I
long
tried hard at it.
You made a name for yourself because I remember before I moved down from Buffalo, I knew who you were just because of, you know, who you were working with, the guy behind you.
Our pit crews were good.
So you went from Petty to?
Went from Petty to, actually to Hendrick with Darryl Walker.
There you go.
And another Hall of Famer. Spent 3 years with Darryl at Hendrick Motorsports, Jeff Hammond, and won a Daytona 500.
I was going to say, were you the Indy Shuffle?
I was there.
Right? Okay. Right. Yeah. All right. So how many Daytona?
How old are you now? How old are you about now? When okay, you probably were you changing fronts or rears?
I was changing rears. Eddie Dickerson was on the front.
Okay.
And, it took me a few years to get there, moving around different teams and stuff.
Yeah.
I actually changed front and rears.
Back then, you guys could do it. I mean, it wasn't a big deal.
True.
But what I'm getting at is, you're what? Are you 20? Are you 21?
I'm in my 20s.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just win a Daytona 500 with Darryl Waltrip. And you're going over to Wall, changing tires. Just so everybody knows, he didn't have a fire suit on.
Right.
He probably had baseball gloves on. Batting gloves. Everybody wear batting gloves.
Right. Yep.
Some wrestling knee pads,
yep,
maybe.
Yep.
But they were also coming down pit road 200 mile an hour.
Right.
Oh yeah.
On no speed.
Yeah. Maybe fast.
Yeah, I was probably as scared as I've ever been at Richmond one time. When Darryl Waltrip, and I was working for Richard Petty at the time, but Darryl Waltrip and Dale Earnhardt come down pit road, and I thought they were going to kill us all. And that was quite, you know, Kyle Petty's run over me. I've been hit several times, and it's, you know, it's still dangerous.
Sure.
It is, right.
But back in those days.
Yeah. A good buddy of mine, Josh Shiplett, just got hit this weekend.
Yeah, saw that,
and I know Shippy from working at RCR, but, you know, they do the best they can with what they got, but it was a lot more dangerous back then.
Yeah, I was in Atlanta when those boys got killed.
That's when everything changed right there.
At Riverside, you know, had those issues.
Yeah.
Well,
bad deal. They needed to do something. Yeah. It was too much.
How many Daytona 500s do you have?
One.
One?
Only one.
Wow.
Darryl Walker.
Okay. Championship.
And then he did
no championship?
No championship.
You have no cup championships?
No. We were second a couple times with Rusty. Right.
Wow.
And we were in the running there with Darryl 1 year.
Jeez.
That's the thing I tell a lot of people. I said, you know, I was working at Hendrick when Jimmy won one of the seven. I don't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
And so it was Rick included us all in that, so that was nice. But I've never worked for a team.
So you don't feel like, but weren't you on R&D, or weren't you, what were you doing for them?
Working with Chase.
Well, okay.
Chase Elliott.
So is that why you just didn't felt like it was part of?
Well, I mean,
because I know how that. I know what you're saying.
You want to be part of that group.
Yeah.
That's actually doing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we've been close. Won a lot of races. You know, those years with Rusty, we had years we won 10, 11 races. Yes. You know.
How long were you with Team Penske?
14 years.
14 years. So that's kind of where people got to really know you, because now the TV exposure's coming up. You're winning all those races. You're being talked about. You're being talked about on television. Because I knew who you were before I moved down here. And I knew you're one of the top, you know, crew members and well-known and everything. Yeah. So you, from entire chain, give us a good Rusty story.
Boy, there's so many.
One that you can tell.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think a minute.
And then I'll ask you a question while you're thinking. So
it's
you're
a double think, Warren.
Huh?
Then it's a double think.
I can tell you.
No, it's going to be easy, my question.
Rusty was probably one of the most competitive people I've worked for.
Yeah.
Verbally. All of the guys I've worked for are competitive. But Rusty Wallace was, he'd tell you how competitive. And he would tell you when we weren't doing what we should be doing.
Got it.
And he, more than once, he took us in the conference room, because the team wasn't as big as they are
today. Right.
He'd say, guys, we'd run, our best finish might be a sixth, and our worst finish might be an eighth, which is not terrible.
No.
But it wasn't a win.
Right.
He said, man, I want to see some action out here. We got to get going.
Sounds
good.
Like,
and I mean, you know, he was, the greatest part of my career probably was working with Rusty Wallace in a lot of different ways. He was a guy that was involved, he was engaged,
and anything less than winning was all acceptable. Yeah, he's all about, he's got the blinders on, and all it is win.
Right.
Yeah, and racing.
And he was
committed. I think guys in that era were way more committed than some now. Not that they're not now, but it's just a different way.
You know, and I think guys like, okay, so I know Rusty, I know Mark Martin, I knew Kowicki, I knew Davey a little bit. And it's because I think of what they came from.
Mm-hmm.
They had a different focus on what they had to do.
I agree.
And they were more about, they knew they had to work harder to be hard. And he, because he was the guy that came from nothing and was something. And I think the work ethic in them guys were always harder.
Sure.
I know that era was that. Kind of signify.
Yeah, absolutely. Of the guy.
Good. You good? Matt Shute. I don't know. Shute?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Class that guy on and off the trip. Billy taught me a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, for Jack Ely says, not sure if you remember, but we pitted a car together in the early 80s at Atlanta Cup Race for the 02 car owned by Baxter Price.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Potter drove a long time. Yeah. You remember?
Yeah, I think I was a Jack man.
You're a Jackman.
I think I was. Tell me if I'm right. Wasn't I the Jackman?
Jack, was he the Jackman?
So Big Jack and I worked for Jeffrey Fenning building pit equipment.
The Jack was bigger than I was back then.
He was a big guy.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Jack.
Dave Chanette says, how many years did Midnight come out of the stables and put back on track?
I don't know, 3 or 4.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we're going this car. They retired it, and then they brought it back.
I think over its history, it probably won 15 races.
Yeah. It was a heck of a car. Yeah,
so I wanted to bring up, my question to you was, when you're changing tires, right? You're going on. Were you a road guy?
Yes.
Also,
well, I was a road guy off and on. I played many different roles at Penske, but more times than not, I came on the weekend just to be the picker again.
Okay.
Okay. So when you got, you're part of that era.
Yeah.
Okay.
But well, I want to know, you weren't just lifting weights and changing tires. You're working in the shop.
Oh yeah.
Big time.
So you're putting cars together, or front end suspension guy, or rear end guy, or whatever.
Gary Brooks, myself.
Gary Brooks, yeah,
great guy. We were basically the assemblers, put the cars together.
Mm-hmm.
And when Todd Parrott left, Jeffrey Thousand kind of took over what was the car chief role at that time.
Okay.
So we all worked with Jeffrey or Todd before Todd left to go with Dale Jarrett and them. So between the three or four of us, Brad Parrott was there at some point. You know, up through the Buddy Parrott days.
Yeah.
Until Robin came. And there was the four of us that basically put the cars together, did all this.
Four.
And then set them
up. Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is an era that you worked your guts out to get to the track, and then
we worked along.
Everyone saw the
glam. I call them roofers, right? Roofers, I'm gonna go back to that because you do everything from the roof down.
Yeah.
And what I'm getting at is that, you know, I got to Penske Crown Office in '98, mm-hmm. and I counted everybody who worked there, including the girls up front, and there was 40 of us.
40.
You know, and that's everybody right. in the whole building. And that's the floor sweeper, that's everybody. And now there's 100 guys per team,
no.
which that's gonna, we know that's gonna come to an end.
Yeah.
And you're gonna have to be more of a roofer. And hopefully us roofers can hang on a little bit because we're willing to, you know.
Learn the new car coming.
Learn yeah. a new car and say, yeah, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that.
Jack Healy says, yes, you did. You were the Jack Healy. Good memory, man. Good job. Yeah, that's
that
all right.
A long time ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't remember that.
Wally McCarty says, and you were in a Miller Lite TV commercial.
Yeah, I was.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't have a speaking part, obviously.
No, but did you get like a VCR tape of it? Or?
Well, it was the ones where we.
Now you're dating.
Well, that's what it would
it
be.
It was
on.
A VCR tape, yeah.
Was it with Dangerfield?
Be kind, rewind.
Yeah, we brought a gopher back to life.
Yeah.
Rusty went to speed of light.
Remember that one now.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
We were.
Who convinced him to be part of that commercial? It was so late. What was that? I understand.
Dead presidents said, you want to be in a commercial?
We went to Fontana and we're making these commercials.
Right.
And we're all dressed up in these ancient time battle whatever.
Right.
You know, and I'm running this catapult.
Right, a catapult, okay. which a catapult. Would be awesome, yeah.
Shot here. Well, they've got us in turn one right at the end of pit road, and the wind's blowing out there 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And we've got these...
Oh.
Styrofoam rocks. So they said, all right, everybody get in their place. And
right.
We got our horns on. We're fighting Vikings and all
right,
stuff.
Right.
So I'm getting ready to fire off this catapult. So they go, action. Said, all right, so I'm supposed to count three, pull the rip cord on this catapult. So I pull it, and the styrofoam rock goes this way, and then the wind goes. They said, cut. We got to turn this thing
turn
around.
Turn it around. That way.
So then we fired off the rocket and flew about 300 yards. It was crazy. It was a cool day.
All right. This has come up. I mean, it was. Ask him about, they want, Mike Smith says, ask him about sprint car driving. Now, you started driving sprint cars, right?
Yes.
Okay. How long did you do that for?
5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you do?
It was good. We had some success. We won some races.
All right.
You know, we... In my level of competition, 360s, local races, I actually mm-hmm. won a national race in Arkansas at the Speed Week with ASCS.
Good.
Had some fun. I went to Knoxville and had some good runs there, and I had a big crash that everybody talks about.
Oh, that's
probably got 100,000 views on that. I'm up in the top.
Okay, so,
top,
you know, all right, because people. All right, so.
It's like a Ryan Newman number.
It's up there.
Now, that, what year was that?
I want to say I was around 1999 or 2000.
Okay. So, just because they're going to, let's just talk about it. So, you go into turn, you're still, you know, the start of a race, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
It's, you know, Knoxville, the format is you qualify.
Right.
The higher you qualify, the further back you start.
Yep.
It's all about the invert and points and this and that. So, we actually qualified pretty good. So, we're starting back in the back. You might have heard this guy. His name's Casey Kane. He's starting right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
So, we get the green flag and kid... Three or four rows in front of us has a little bad start.
Right.
So we're all splitting him going around. Casey goes to the inside. I go to the outside. Casey gives him a wheel. Guy turns into me, and I'm up in the fence about 40 feet asleep.
Big time.
Oh, man. It was a heck of a
tumbled.
It took me about an hour to figure out I was still alive.
But wait a minute. You came down then.
Oh, and I did about 400 donuts.
I watched it today because one of your buddies was nice enough to send it. You were going fast in the Tilt-A-Whirl at Carnival.
Oh, it was.
The throttle hung or was your foot on the gas?
No,
it was because you were.
In a sprint car, you got like a stirrup.
Right.
So your foot's in there because you know they're pretty rough riding vehicles.
Right.
And so my foot was still on the gas.
So you were, but you were not.
And you were out cold.
Do you remember when you came? When did you come to? Like out of the car or in the car?
I woke up a couple times. And while they were getting me out of the car, and I finally came to fairly good about an hour later at the hospital.
Got it.
Yeah.
But you still kept racing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, racing. Perfect.
I actually flew home, went to Watkins Glen, flew back from Watkins Glen, and got my stuff in Kansas City, I think is where I ended up with it. and we raced Wichita on Monday.
Hey, aren't you the guy? And you still hear about it today, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. All, right. All the time. Yeah.
All the other great
concussion protocol?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We didn't pay attention to that.
Three, six, nine, whatever.
They told me I couldn't sleep more than an hour at a time for the next day or two.
All right, that makes sense. Good. Yeah. All right, so Bill Mars, he says, what are your Billy's memories from the brawl after the Winston in 89? Now, that was one. So that was Daryl Walchup, right?
Yeah.
And Rusty. Now, you work with Daryl.
Yeah.
Now you're working with Rusty.
Yeah.
So they get together on the track, and they go down into the
pit area. With Daryl at that time. And the, you know, we kind of were all friends. We knew them guys.
Sure.
You know, Red Dog, Todd, and
Red Dog,
all those guys. And and Big Fun and all them. So they have the little on-track accident.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl's mad. We're all mad. And Rusty's headed to Victory Lane, and we're pitted right there at the entrance. Old Charlotte Victory Lane is right behind
Pitt. Worst Rose. Best place you could be for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thing, yeah.
So, you know, Todd Parrott comes through, pushing the back of the 27 car, and gives Sandy Jones a little shoulder. Because we're all right there greeting him as he's coming through the Victory Lane.
On Daryl's team, yeah.
On Daryl's team, yeah. And the underlying story of that is that created the whole damn infield in a fight, you know.
Yeah.
The song name. So
it
was, I don't know, one guy got his finger bit pretty good because he stuck it in one of the guy's mouths. it was a mess, you know.
Oh, is that guy?
Yeah, it was a mess.
But you know what? It lived on.
Yeah, and we were right there behind the Speedway, and the other side of the deal was, you know, over on whatever road off Harris Boulevard was where Blue Max was at. Which was
Oh, that's at the shop, yeah.
Well, we all ate at Sandwich Construction.
Yeah,
remember
day.
That place? I worked
every
there.
Day.
I remember.
Every day.
Yeah.
And so it was a deal. We were closer than they were, actually.
Right.
So we'd try to get there top by the bar.
Sure, yeah. I remember.
Well, pretty soon, I think we were all leaving at 9:15 to eat lunch. Right. So we could all sit.
It turned into a race when we get there.
Because then first, the other had to walk by him to get a table down below.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
because nobody wanted to sit over on the front of the car.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a mess. We all got over it, and
then you went to work for him.
Yeah, and then I ended up going to work.
And they're like, "Hey, we know you."
I worked for Rusty. Worked for Rusty way prior to all this.
Yeah,
at Stewart Racing, and that's where I got to know him. And one of the reasons that I wanted to work for him again.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Mike Cheek says, "Great guy." Old school, just on his roof more than on his wheels. Told him, I said, well, nice. Good.
Thank you.
He was Bickle's crew chief in the Arca race.
Yes.
All right, so now you've done the tire changing, Jackman, all stuff. When did the car chief, crew chief start?
Well, I don't really.
Well, first of all, is it something you sought, or is it something they came to you with?
Well, no, I never really did. I don't think I ever really sought it. When Robin decided to leave, which none of us knew, I thought it was the best kept secret in racing at that time. Nobody really knew. I'm sure,
Robin Pemberton, yeah.
Yeah, when Robin decided to leave, I don't think anybody on our team knew.
Really?
No.
Wow.
And, you know, I'd been with Rusty for quite a while and had raced quite a few different things. And I don't really know exactly how it came about. To be honest with you.
But
I got a phone call. I got a phone call and they said, hey, we're interested in seeing if you'd like to be crew chief.
From?
Well, John Erickson called, and then next thing I know, Rusty Wallace is on the phone and Ron Pinsky's on the phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy cow. I was in shock. But it was truly one of the greatest moments in my career. And, you know, I didn't say yes right away because I that's a big decision.
It's
a big decision. And thankful to this day for Rusty giving me the opportunity to do it. You know, we did
a lot of responsibility instilled on you immediately.
It's amazing.
I mean,
young people that have never done this or done something like that don't realize it. And I didn't realize
it. But it's also an honor.
That's an honor, sure.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely one of the, if not the highlight of my career, it's probably, you know, one of the top two or three.
Right.
Very good.
Without a doubt.
So how long did you do that for with them?
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I made it 2 years with him, and then they brought in Larry Carter.
Right.
And I think Larry went 2 years, and I think Rusty retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just were any hard feelings or when they
brought? No, okay, I don't think so. Not on my behalf.
Okay, because you're like, I did it, and you didn't. You obviously did well enough. They kept it for 2 years. I mean,
yeah. I think there was, let's face it, if you're halfway intelligent, you could work with Rusty Wallace because he pretty well runs.
He's going to help you. It's like working with Mark Martin.
Right.
You wouldn't put, I think Buddy Parrott did an excellent job with him, and he was a veteran guy,
right.
And he did really good. And I think Rusty had a certain amount of respect for him, and Robin did a great job.
Yep.
You couldn't put me with a William Byron.
No.
Right.
Because you need a check and announce with
me. Right.
Yeah. You know.
Makes sense.
Perfect opportunity.
Was with that veteran.
Exactly right. Yeah. Especially at the level the sport was. In today's environment, it'd be very hard to bring in a young guy that doesn't have experience.
Right.
You know.
True.
I would say this. Veteran drivers do better with rookie crew chiefs than rookie crew chiefs do
with rookie drivers.
With rookie drivers. Right. Because the simple fact is that that driver's been doing this.
Yeah.
Right. If you listen to him and you give him what he wants, and you don't argue with him, you say 10-4.
You know what the engineer's saying? That's when they go, "What?"
No. We're still listening to the driver.
We were still in an era where engineering
was still not as strong.
There was no some engineering in our stuff, we were starting to see the benefits of engineering coming in the future, but we weren't there yet, and. I'm just thankful I had that opportunity, and Rusty, appreciative for it.
It's awesome.
It is good. Because I think it's a tribute because you earned that because all the years, 14 years there, it's good. From Penske, you go to?
Kind of went out after I left there and went with Brendan Gaughan to Vegas for about a half a season.
Okay.
And that was a great opportunity as well.
He's a character, isn't he?
He is a character.
I love that guy.
He's awesome. He's
called me today and
absolutely great family.
Yes.
And enjoyed my time there. And to be honest with you, we were running Steve Park and Brendan at the same time.
Was it truck stuff?
Trucks, yes. And good.
Shane Wilson there?
Shane was there prior. Shane came from Vegas with Brendan.
Do you work with Stockman? You know Danny Stockman?
I do know Stockman. Okay. Stockman's a great guy. Yep. He was an unbelievable worker at that time.
He's very focused.
Very intense.
I knew when I worked with that guy in Vegas that he was going to be good.
Yeah.
Whatever he decided to do. And because he was the guy in there 1 minute putting tear-offs on the windshield and putting motors in. I mean, he knew it all.
Whatever.
He was a roofer.
Roofers make it in the sport.
I had an opportunity to possibly have Brent or Stockman work with me, and I didn't take that opportunity, and I wish I would have because he would definitely been a benefit.
Yeah, I like Danny a lot. I knew him from RCR.
Yeah.
He's
good.
You know Vicky Brawley?
I do.
She said you're way out past your bedtime.
I need to get she's my next door neighbor.
Coming from her? From her, then you're okay, yeah.
She's my next door neighbor. I'm usually in bed at 9:30.
Dave Schnitz says Big Springs, Small Bar Days.
Spring to Rusty was a 400.
Really?
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah.
We kind of tricked him one time, ran a 700.
How'd that go?
Fire us all.
How'd it go?
I thought he was going to fire us all.
We ran third. We survived
on it like a 500 or something.
Right.
I think. He thought, oh man, we're really venturing on the big stuff, and everybody runs 700s.
Well, sometimes you got to do that.
I'm going to blame that on Jeffrey Thousand.
Okay, that's good, but it worked.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, you got to do that sometimes. You got to fool the driver and think you did that. Mm-hmm. All right, so you did there, and then you come back to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And you started
crew chief for Dale Jarrett.
Crew chief for Dale Jarrett.
Yeah.
And
then I did that.
Robert H. Racing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eddie DeHunt and them were there.
Yep.
And then it was after that stint with them for, a few months. That was when Mike Ford left.
Got it.
Okay.
I filled in there for, 8 or 10, 12 races.
See, once you're crew chief, you become the bullpen guy.
Yeah.
He's crew chief before. Bring him
in. Let me ask you this, because I always worry about guys that I know really like, and they go and they do this, and sometimes they can't get back in. Do you regret crew chiefing anybody at any time?
No, not really.
Because people always think if you're a crew chief,
you can't do anything else.
Well, you're one step closer to the door.
Yeah, you can't, like, no, you don't get it. I was a crew chief. I'll be a car chief.
Right.
I just want to help.
Sure.
I went through that, crew chief
You know, it's, you get labeled.
A lot of guys, you gotta swallow some pride.
Right.
Because you don't want to go back down. Nobody wants to go back down.
Yeah, but if you have to, you have to, right?
But I absolutely love my job now.
Right.
And
right.
I've been a car chief for several years, and I think it's better than being a crew chief.
Before we get to that, we have to do another round of sponsorship here.
Let's do it.
We don't have a commercial that you can be in, but you can just sit there and, what'd you say?
Bring some money.
Bring some money, and he says, okay. We're going to have Lake Norman Patio Game Rooms. Go see Brad out there on Broadway School Road. We need to do a Saturday afternoon show there.
We're going to definitely do it.
Especially when the weather gets nicer.
We'll make some pina coladas.
We'll make some pina coladas.
Absolutely.
He might have stuff we could work with there.
Absolutely.
He has a cooler there. We could sit at one of his big pubs.
Right, we'll have a little fire.
That's good.
Luau. Mele Kalikimaka.
Oh, people wearing Pub Table Racer t-shirts. And we could do that. Also, racingjunk.com. Be sure to check them out. Anything he needs there, just go get it. We're going to probably have some more merchandise on there if I can get the pictures I have. We also want to touch upon the garage shop. Appreciate Aaron and his support and the work we're kind of new. I forgot to mention, we're going to start doing a little cross-promotion with him. So that'll be good with the garage shop and
sure.
us. Be good for all of us. And coming up, rapid removal, starting next week with our guest. We'll have
Darren.
Darren?
Yep.
Your coworker.
Yep, Mike works at Penske.
Perfect.
Engine tuna.
That's good. So there we go.
Tuna.
All right. So let's catch up. Now you work where?
Junior motor.
Let's go back just 10 seconds. This man right here helped Chase Elliott.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because you were on that. I remember seeing you at Bristol, and you're with Chase when he's doing the Canaan.
Yep.
Yeah, so he made another short stop back at Hendrick.
Yeah. Okay. So I've been trying. You know, when I left Robert Yates.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything, and actually Frankie Kerr called me and said, "Hey, call this guy." So I called up David Gilliland.
All right.
And he had been running the West Series, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he won that Toyota Showdown.
Right.
At
big deal. Big deal.
And he said, that guy got a money guy out there who wants to run some Bush or whatever it is.
K&N or whatever.
Bush Series.
Bush North?
Yeah. Well, he wanted to run Bush Series.
Okay.
Nationwide or whatever we were at the time. So I call him up and he's in California. And he's bought some cars and he's got some stuff going on out there in Riverside. And so long story short, I go out and talk to him. Come back, he's wanting to do this thing in California. So I get talking around, and Eddie Dickerson, I have to put a word in for Eddie. Eddie was, you know, out and didn't have anything going. I called him up and I said, hey, this guy's doing this and that. So we go back out there together. We're looking at this thing about possibly doing something with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out and talk to him, and we said, hey, this is going to be tough to do out here. What do you think about coming back to North Carolina? So the guy says, can we win? I said, I think it's your only way. So he said, okay.
If you want to win, you got to come back here.
He said, well, how much is it going to cost to win? I said, a lot, and then a lot more.
Right.
So we come back, talk to Travis Carter, end up renting a building.
The building,
Travis's place.
Along I-40 there, yeah.
Yep. And we end up bringing all of his equipment here, and we start building some cars, and that was in, I don't remember what year that was, 2000.
What was the name of the team?
It was Clay Andrews Racing.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so we put that deal together at 84, and we didn't go to speedways. It was going to be a partial schedule to start with, and we went to a few races and ended up going to Kentucky and won a race.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, David's going to drive for Robert Yates.
Okay.
Oh, so Gillen was the driver.
Gillen.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
We won Kentucky.
Gillen won an Xfinity race with I don't think there was a sponsor on a car.
No, we picked up sponsorship. Clay Andrews spent all his own money.
Yes, I remember. Don't you remember that?
No, I'm thinking about that race. Was that the car?
Was it Bridgman?
Black.
Yeah, it was all black.
And then they sold it. Was it legal or was it?
No, it was legal.
Okay, got it.
What race did it win? Was it Richmond?
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because I remember another team bought the car. And they went to inspection and said it was legal. You know, am I on the right path?
I don't know.
Oh, you're so full of shit. That's all right. I just, you know, I do remember.
Nothing wrong with that car.
I just remember dumb shit.
VIN number was good.
Robert Richardson, if you watch and let me know if I got the right story.
So then Then the deal, I actually ended up with Joe Nemechek.
Okay.
Helping him.
Okay.
And then Bill, we ended up making contact with Bill, and he was looking for somebody helping with KNN. So I was kind of doing a deal with Joe and Chase at the same time.
Oh, Bill,
and
this is Bill Elliott.
Yes. Like, okay, and they were doing this out of their place in Dawsonville.
Okay.
Okay.
And, you know, they signed up a deal with Hendrick. Mm-hmm. And so when Bill actually did call and we discussed, you know, he just needed somebody to go to the track and help him with the process.
Right.
Because NASCAR program is a little different than your late model.
Yeah.
You know.
But practicing. With your experience, I mean, you can do the whole deal.
Right.
I mean, you can.
That's where I fit in.
That's where you fit in. Yeah. Right.
So that gave me an opportunity to talk to some people back in Hendrick.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when they actually brought that deal in-house through talking with Lance McGrew and making some contact there and with Rex Stump at the time and then Bill. I was able to go in and work with that group down there with Pete Wright, Jim Long, and you know, all the guys that were in the R&D at the time.
Right, right.
And they told me going
up in R&D, you know.
Right. They told me going in, this is a couple year deal. We'll see how it goes, and we're not going to keep this R&D program at 12 people.
Right.
We'll go back down. So this will be a, you know, 1 or 2 year deal with
them. Okay.
So then that worked out, and I ended up put myself and 2 or 3 others up at juniors.
Right.
With I ended up with Regan Smith and Ryan Pemberton and them, and I've been there ever since.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So that Hendrick connection to juniors.
Yes.
You know, they have to downsize the R&D deal for Chase, but the connection and the work you did at Hendrick puts you that
gave me an
opportunity. Yes.
Yeah.
So how long have you been there with Junior Motorsports?
7 years.
7 years. Good guy. And what's your title role there?
Clerk Chief from Justin Allgaier.
Job number 7, okay.
Been on the 7 since I started there.
That kid is this close to pulling all up.
Been right there.
That kid, I mean, I could give...
He'll be fine.
I know, I understand. Horseshoes, Lucky Rabbit's foot, stuff that he goes through. But he pulls off some wins.
Oh, yeah.
And when he does win, then he wins the next week again. Yeah. Which is rewarding for you as the car chief, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you put that time together?
It's rewarding.
Yeah.
Don't care what
Absolutely. It don't matter what... Yeah. It don't matter if you luck into it. It's rewarding. Because you luck out of it.
Right. So if you luck out of it, it's tough to you know, get back in. Right. I heard. Junior Motorsports, there's a lot of guys that have been up to the ranks in NASCAR. Not that they come down, but they've taken on roles at Junior Motorsports that, you know, Pemberton, you got Danny Earnhardt, you got Danny Jr.'s there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys that I've never been through there, but I'm sure there's like a who's who in there that's working.
There's a lot of guys there that have been in sport for a while, and then we've actually got a good crew of young guys.
Good, but you need to meld them together.
There's a younger guys that are coming along and learning the sport and learning how to, you know, make their way. A lot of
that's
engineers.
Good.
You know what I say about that? The group of older guys you got there is so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Them young guys are going to be strong,
they're going to
get good information,
right?
Not bad information,
especially because they all want to run together.
We've got 2 or 3 guys that have gone through our engineering department that are engineers at Hendrick now.
Nice.
Good.
The system's working.
Right.
Guys can see an avenue of progress.
So what's it like to work for Dale Jr. and his sister Kelly? Because you know they run it together.
Yeah, it's good. It's probably one of my favorite jobs that I've had.
Really?
Why is that? It's laid back.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
As you can say, it's very easy going.
Sure.
It's
comfortable.
Okay.
You know,
get your work
done. You're there to work and win.
Yeah.
But you don't go in every day feeling like you know. It's good. It's one of my favorite jobs I've had in racing.
That's good. Because I know that people go there say the attitude and the way they do everything is just kind of.
Yeah.
You want to work harder, but because they're not like, come on, Dale Jr. is out there hitting you over the head with a wrench.
Great.
You know, get going. Yeah. Very good. Okay, so now let's get caught up. In addition to all the other stuff, you have your own business.
Yeah, I've been in storage before. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in it a little bit bigger.
Okay, so what do you mean you started like owning, part owning? Or?
Yeah,
part owning. Not like cold storage bodies or
no. No. Storage,
storage units. Buildings, yeah. So like if someone, you know, had too much stuff, they move in the house, they come to you and they say, let me put my stuff in there.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it's just, you know, you
where's it located?
5x10s. It's in Denver.
Denver, okay. Yeah, what's it called?
Loftus Mini Storage.
What's it called?
Loftus.
L-O-F-T-I-S. Okay,
yeah, got Mini Storage.
Right.
I store indoor parking or outdoor parking. And
okay. For like boats and RVs?
Yeah, boats and RVs, yeah.
And then you have the units, too?
Yep.
How big are they?
5x10s to 10x30s.
Perfect. There
everything
you go.
In between.
So you have that, and how long have you had that now?
2 years in April.
Good. How's that going? Do you notice?
Really good.
Well, all the people moving in here, all these apartments.
Good retirement, right?
Yeah, yeah, right? I wish I had done it 10 years ago.
Yeah, everybody said storage. So we've in a future. Nobody wants to throw anything away.
Travis Max says, I love working with Billy at JRN. Great guy. Darnell, Todd, and Manly, who you know, Vicky, yeah. You know, Darnell.
Yeah.
It's like the old days. Is that because we're old, Darnell? Jamie Reynolds says, Billy, you were on the 38 car when Bill was on the 38 car when Billy was there.
Yeah.
Did you work with Wild Bill Johnson or Robert Yates?
Yes.
Okay. So that was that would back that up. Dan Lynch went off.
Yeah.
Perfect. You taught me. So you taught me a lot, and good. So you're getting all kinds of compliments coming through.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
No, good show.
You have made your mark in the sport. If there was like a Hall of Fame for crew members, you definitely be. No, seriously.
So the reason we started this though,
yeah.
and exactly.
And
we always say the reason we started doing this is because we watch the Hall of Fame stuff. We watch this, we watch that. And none of the guys, not just average Joes that have been doing this forever get any recognition, you know, and this is something we're trying to push, you know, right. is for unsung heroes,
right.
Like someone like you who's been in this sport, who I respect greatly,
right.
And I've been in this sport for a long time, but not, you know, you got 10 years on me, or 15. You know, and we worked together at I think I'm older than you, but you started before me.
Right.
I'm
right 50, out of high school.
I'm 55.
Yeah, he's not.
I'm 54.
Right, okay.
Right there.
So you just started before me,
right.
But you've been doing it longer than me. So what I'm getting at is that, you know, we worked together. We weren't really connected. I was at Penske Krennemus. You were at Penske with Rusty. I'm with Mayfield. And I knew of you. I knew a great tire changer respected you. Granted, we never like sat down and talked or whatever it was, but still, you see these guys. I watched your career go through. You know, I watched you become a crew chief. I watched Dennett. You know, I watched you for a little while. Watched you, which seen you at Bristol one day. You know, and I don't even know. I might have waved to you. We might have waved. We might have connected. Whatever. But it's like the guys like us that don't get any recognition. To me, is we're the foundation of this sport.
Exactly, because without behind the scenes,
right,
building cars, doing what you're doing,
right,
they're working on my own car. What are you talking about?
I mean, I think, and I'm not going to take anything away from any driver.
No,
or any crew
because we've had plenty of drivers.
Jeff Burton's up for his Hall of Fame thing,
right.
Well, Billy's been in the sport way longer than him.
Right, yeah. Saying, if there were a Hall of Famer, you would definitely. Changes in the sport. What do you like that you've seen the progression of the sport? What do you, like you've seen, like let's say 5 years. Yeah.
That's a tough one there.
Anything.
Well, I think, you know, I miss the days when we go to the track and we, you know, we're able. Miss that. I see some benefit from it, you know. I mean, there's always a lot of ways to look at things, but I miss that part of it. That's part of the competition that I enjoy,
right?
And I think it's, you know, I think it makes for the weekend, for the show,
right?
You know, if you want to. Is it necessary? Obviously at this point it's not.
They're showing it's not.
Real quick, so if you had one-hour practice session, you'd be good with that?
Yeah, I actually, to be honest with you, I gotta throw something toward the dirt program a little bit. You know, they want to save money and they want to do these things. I felt like we could get, you know, one set of tires in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you know, how many times
would
it make 10
laps to
come back?
We roll them out of the truck, we go through tech and we're racing now.
Right.
What would be the difference if we went out and had a 15-minute practice session? I mean,
agreed.
Some of the best racing I ever watched, you get 8 laps or 5 laps of dirt lap, you know, dirt track hot laps.
Good thought.
you know. I'm gonna give.
And you raced on dirt, so you
yeah,
know.
You I'm know. Gonna give a plug to the Chili Bowl. It's
no,
the best
phenomenal.
Race of the year,
yeah.
And you
phenomenal.
Get six laps of hot laps and a heat race and a
right.
Full fire, and here we go.
And the place know. Is packed.
It's packed, and yeah. It's the best racing ever.
People love it. Okay, so it's one thing. Like, I agree. I like to see like one practice session,
yeah.
Just so you can, so you know, so you're not out there going
right.
And I look. I think of people like Jennifer Jo Cobb. You know, she went out. The brakes weren't one time. And then the track bar was
right. Like a shakedown practice.
Yeah, like so everybody knows their stuff's good. You go out there and then you
right.
Waste your entry fee
and
the
think,
travel for nothing.
I think that's especially for in the world of one race for your championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's critical that you know, get a practice in that.
I agree with that.
You
and even like a shakedown, heck, even if it's a, first of all, like you said, one set of tires. Because
yeah.
Yep. Tires are so expensive.
Right. Sure.
So one set of tires and it's an hour. Whatever you want to do in that hour, one set of tires is up
yeah,
to you.
You know, and I say if you just get, if you can make one lap, 10 laps, five mm-hmm. laps, in 15 minutes, you're going to
yeah.
And there's so much on the line for the teams and the sponsors and everything to go to the last race and not be, you know, rolling
sure.
out of the trailer or
yeah.
whatever. I'm just saying, I think that's critical.
Right.
Yeah, and what these guys go through now with splitter heights and
yeah.
travels and all of this, and if you don't hit it just right, you
suffer all day.
You yeah. suffer all day, or you
okay.
chase it all day.
All right, before we wrap up, if your career ended tomorrow, any regrets?
No, I think
heck,
I think it's been good.
Yeah.
Been almost a winner on every team we've ever been on.
Right.
One regret, or you know, there's nothing I can do to change that. But I really wish we could have won one race when I worked for Richard Petty.
Got it.
That right. would have been, to me, would have been the cap
right.
to all
you're,
of us.
You're a hero.
Right.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I grew up, I carried a stock car racing magazine with him on the cover to school. My English teacher told me, she said, what are you doing? I said, man, I'm reading up on the latest series. And she absolutely
yeah.
hated that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was more interested in that than I was paying attention to her.
Right.
But, you know, but anyway, that... If there's one thing that
right.
could go back and say, let's, I'd like okay. to have won one race with Richard.
And, could
and
you,
we were close. We had some seconds, and,
yeah.
and you know, it was Dale Earnhardt actually took a couple wins away from us.
Damn.
But okay. you know, imagine that.
Yeah.
And if it did, as the bell chimes here, could you say, you know what? It's been a real good run.
Oh, it's been great.
Yeah. That's good.
Absolutely. Wouldn't trade now.
Perfect.
Good deal.
Hey, you know what? I want to thank you for being on here. Seriously, appreciate you. You are legendary status. It's an honor to have you on. Do you have your water? Your toaster?
No, I'm good.
You have your toaster?
Yeah, water.
Jesus. Wait, one's got to get an empty. No, excuse me. All right. Appreciate you being on, Billy.
All right, Billy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you go.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. We'll see you around.
Enjoy it.
And should we close the show?
Close the show.
Say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. See you next week, Tuesday night.
Wow, hey, another great show.
Great
Thank
show.
You so much, everybody,
yep.
for tuning
Enjoyed
in.
It.
We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night, and Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching.
Right.
And
we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. This is just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But, we appreciate you people, and we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.